Hey everyone, Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters. I want to welcome all the CAs and the doctors on tonight's call, The Art of the Close, Mastering Your Care Plans, with my very good friend and special guest, Superstar CA Academy founder, Kim Gorham. And Kim and I have known each other for quite a few years, and she's well-known and well-respected for really helping front desk CAs, or CAs in general, really help take ownership and build a practice. And I'm very, very fortunate and blessed to have her with me tonight to talk to you about the art of the close. And this is such an important topic. I can't emphasize this enough, that Kim's going to go through a lot of her tools and her gems that she uses to make sure she gets outrageous closing rates. And I want the CAs on this call with pen and paper. Make sure you're in a quiet room because this is being recorded, and we have a lot of people on this call tonight, and we'll open it up in a little bit for Q&A. Let me just introduce, without further ado, my good friend Kim. So welcome, Kim.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me, Dr. Mike.
You know, Kim, it's awesome having you here, and we've done a few of these calls together. I love having you on because we have such great synergy. And, you know, you and I think very, very similar. I would say like 90% our procedures, our marketing is very congruent. Excited to have you join our team and help teach the CAs. You know, one of the things, Kim, is really emphasizing the old sort of pay-per-visit, the sort of drop-in approach to care. That's sort of gone the way of the dodo bird, because we're seeing that mentality has a very low patient visit average, and doctors are struggling from that perspective. So we really want to turn the ship and teach them how we do care plans, what we're using care plans for, and why it's so important. So, Kim, I'm going to open up to you and jump in as we go and add to what you're speaking about tonight. But let's just talk why it's so important to have great care plans and why it's so important to be able to close on those care plans.
Well, obviously, we're all trying to get the yes out of our patients. Yes, I want the care. Yes, this is working. Yes, I'm going to refer family and friends. And to get to that all-important yes, we've actually identified several processes that have to take place prior to receiving that yes. And care plans are just a big piece of the puzzle to helping us to get and retain that yes. So care plans are essential. They're so all over the board, though. You know, I coach, just like you do, with clients across the world, and their care plans are different in Canada than they are here in the States. They're different everywhere, depending on what you're offering. So it's important to have some structure there, too. So where do you want to start tonight, Mike? I would love to get to the yes, because I know everybody out there that's listening is probably wondering, just give me a magic phrase to help me close better.
The magic bullet, right? That's what, just give me the magic bullet. I'm going to run with it. And no, it doesn't work that way. So here's what I believe, Kim. I believe that there's, and this comes from my years of training with Tony Robbins, that there's a lot of the psychological component, what I call conceptual-based right brain thinking. So really getting people to like you and trust you before they buy from you, I think that's really, in my perspective, half of the sale, half of the close. And we've all been there. We've just had those days where we're too left brain and we're too logical sense, and we're just not really buying with the patients, and we don't close with them. So let's just take a step back, and let's really talk about the 8-step psychological purchasing process that I know you know so well.
Wow, you know, I've been in this profession for over 23 years now. I've talked to hundreds of thousands of people one-on-one about chiropractic. And this year, I hit my 1 millionth new patient sign-up. And that is, woohoo! How did I do it, you say? Well, that is an average of about 43,000, 44,000 new patients per year. I have anywhere from 100 to 150 clients, generating between 43 and 63 new patients per month. I mean, I have some offices that are doing a little less, some offices that are making about 100 new patients a month. And it's all because we've learned this 8-step purchasing decision process, and we've mastered it. You know, the close to me is like the cherry on top of the sundae. We've got to put some ice cream in first. We got to sprinkle some nuts. We got to put some whipped cream, and then we get to taste that sweet little cherry. That's the close. But before we get there, let's talk about how we get there so that when we arrive, we get the yes. So here we go. Here's the first step, and I would encourage all CAs and chiropractors that are joining us today to please get out pen and paper, This is going to be some real meat and potatoes that we're learning here today. All right, so the very first step is, number one, patients have to identify that there is a problem. You know, I'm sure, Mike, have you been at a screening before and you see a gentleman that has the posture of a turtle and he walks past you and he goes, no, feeling fine, right?
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're like, come on, man, just come over here. You obviously have a problem. Well, the problem is he doesn't know he has a problem. So step number one is that they identify that there's a problem. So grandma on the playground, she notices her hip just made a loud popping sound. It went out. She can't walk right for 3 weeks. She identifies that, you know, there is a problem here. Now, the thing about step number one is it could take years for people to jump out of denial to accept that they do indeed have a problem that needs fixing. So that's step number one. Step number two is gather information. Patients will gather information about their injury or health condition. Oftentimes they'll go on the internet, they'll search WebMD. Oh man, I have spent a couple sleepless nights looking things up that were going on with me on WebMD. It's the scariest site in the world. There is nothing scarier than having a problem that you don't know what can be done about it. And your mind plays tricks with you. I think I've said a few times on my own, oh my gosh, I think I've got cancer. You know, I mean, it's just, you start self-diagnosing. And that's what happens in step number two. That's why our internet and websites, our web presence has to be really professional, because this is where people are searching. They're looking to make a decision and find out more about their subluxation. They don't know what subluxation is, but they want to find out more about their neck or back condition. Step number three, so that was gathering information number two. Step number three, they identify the alternative solutions. So as they're on WebMD or they're looking up a chiropractic site, they start looking around to see what else they could do. Well, maybe they could just do a colon cleanse for their low back, or maybe they could, you know, go on a special diet, or maybe they could see a chiropractor. You know, if they don't have any reservations to begin with, then they will be looking to search out that option. So number three, they're identifying alternative solutions. And at this point, this is where they have a fork in the road. When they identify that they have a problem, they may go back into the state of denial. Oh, no, it's not so bad. I can just live with it. And they may choose, you know, they're just going to self-medicate and just live life until it gets really bad. So we usually see people that are in the state of denial at our events, you know, our patients, oh, no, I feel better, I'm fine, they walk off. They're in phase number three. So moving on in this eight-step purchasing decision process, they reach phase number four. And this is where they weigh the type of healthcare choices. So they've narrowed it down a little bit more, and they've decided that there's an osteo choice, there's an MD, and there's a chiropractor that fits what they think is going on with them. And they may even go visit their MD, and that's where most people start, is with their medical doctors. So they're going to go and get the medical side of the story first, 9 times out of 10. Now they've got that information and they're chewing on it. And they're going to start to narrow down their alternatives. So on phase five of the eight steps, or step five, they're narrowing down their alternatives. Which provider feels right? So this is their gut check. I talked to the chiro at that flea market that was doing free screenings. I went to my MD. I talked to the osteo next door. And, you know, I'm going to go with my gut on this one. You know, patients are not scientists. They're not doctors. They're average individuals with a fifth grade education in health, most of them. So unless you study health as a science in college, you are stuck with a fifth grade health education. Making these decisions for your family, you know, it's kind of like guesswork for sure. So that's number five, and it's very scary for them. Oftentimes they're in pain right now. They're nervous. They're not sleeping. You know, their energy is falling, their pain level is up, and they reach step number six. Step number six is when they actually select the best alternatives, and this is who I will trust with my spinal care. This is who I will trust with my mystery illness. This is whom I trust. That happens at step number six. And they'll sit with that decision for a while too. You know, they'll sit with that. Especially, it depends on what type of personality you have. I'm a very quick decision maker. I weigh my options fast and I move on. That's my personality. I'm very A-type. But there's other people, like my fiance, for example, who he will take a year to make a decision that I feel should be made in 5 minutes. It drives me crazy, but I understand his personality type, so I let him do his thing. But that's the patience, too, when you're like, come on, man, you are so broken. We know how broken you are. Look at this. And they just are not ready to say yes yet. So, but they're almost there. But this is where they finally, step seven, when they get to step seven, they finally take action. They pick up the phone call. They call your chiropractic assistant. And now they're ready. So you can imagine, after all of this digging around for information and all of this painful decision-making process that they just went through, if they finally picked up the phone to call your chiropractic assistant and she picks up the phone, it's a terrific Tuesday at Advanced Health Chiropractic. This is Kimberly. I can help you. She runs across a sweet voice like that, who seems pretty on the ball. That will help sway her decision at the point that she's going to say yes or no to the appointment. But if for all of that decision-making process she goes through and she dials the phone and she gets the chiropractic assistant from down the street and they say, doctor's office, you know, oh boy, you know, they're going to go right back. That's going to scare them right back into the sixth and fifth steps. Like, wait, did I choose chiropractic wisely? They could run from that. So that's why procedures and scripting is so important at phase seven. Now we're at step eight. This is what we have been working towards. This is the eighth step in our purchasing decision process. Now, what we run into step eight whenever patients have to do one of two things, hand over to you time or hand over to you money. They will then go back into the eighth step. They will review their purchasing decision to weigh the benefits and make sure that it's still a good deal for them, that it's still working. So again, the eighth step, just we have to remember, they will always be, our patients will always be settled on the eighth step, even if they have purchased one of our amazing care plans. So have you ever noticed, Dr. Mike, your patients kind of wavering at the eighth step or the seventh step?
They can. I mean, you know, you see that look in their eyes, that deer in the headlight look, or their body language starts to change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And anytime you feel that you have the person and you're in it with them and they're understanding you and they have what I call positive eye contact with you, where they're just really engaged, they're smiling, they're nodding their head up and down, yes, yes, you have them. If you notice at any point that they change that and they start looking down, they start focusing downward, or they start looking up and to the left or to the right, you know that they've gone back into the process and they are thinking. And what's important for us to remember at this stage of the game is we are dealing with three really important factors here. In order to sway a purchasing decision, we are dealing with patients' pains, fears, and desires surrounding accepting chiropractic care. So there's going to be one of those things there that's going to make them say yes to chiropractic care and motivate them to make a change in their behavior. This is the other part that chiropractors and chiropractic assistants forget or don't even realize. And that is, when we ask a patient to say yes to care, we are technically asking for them to make a change in their behavior. We're changing their schedule. We're changing their calendar. We're changing their finances. Big changes, right?
Absolutely.
So if we're asking for somebody to make the top two, you know, things that people are really excited about and value, which is time and money, if we're asking for any of that, we have to make sure that people are motivated. And people are motivated that I found in chiropractic, pain, fear, and desire. They are the top three motivational factors that we've identified. Pain, everybody knows that. That is obviously why they're reaching out. And that happens at phase one, at step one in the decision-making purchasing process. They identify that they're in pain. That is usually the motivation for them to pick up the phone, start looking around, get on the website. You know, they've identified that. The fear is what will stop them from advancing through this purchasing decision process. So if they're afraid at all of what is going to happen to them at the chiropractor, or if they experience a disconnect in the team, the attitude, the pricing structure, the processes and procedures, all of that will result in deer in the headlights look at some point in time. Because when people are paying money for a service, they want it then. So I'm going to give you guys some tips. I know this is a lot of information, and I just wanted to let you know that if you're interested in getting the PowerPoint for this talk today, I will be putting it on my website later. And my website is www.chirorockstar.com. And there's a little box there that you can opt in, and we'll give you the PowerPoint. Also, I'm going to give you a patient survey, but we'll talk more about that. That's an added value for you. Let's move along. Okay, any questions, Dr. Mike, about this eight-step purchasing decision process, or do you have anything to add to it?
Well, you know what? I think all of this is important. I agree with you. But, you know, one of the most important things, and I think you're getting into it in your tips to increase patient satisfaction, is during this, I think having great listening skills is really important. And showing a level of empathy or sympathy with the patients is critical because, you know, I used to see, like, you know, 80, 90, 100 new ones coming through per month. And sometimes you have so many new patients coming through your practice, it's almost like you treat them as a number versus a person. And I think what's really important is that during this whole process, you really want them to know that you have their best interests in mind and really take that time to develop rapport, to bond with them. I think that's where you're going to go next. But I think that's a great segue into where we're going to go into, you know, reducing refunds and improving patient satisfaction. It's getting to know that person on a heart level and yet at the same time doing it very quickly so that you're not their psychiatrist as well. You know what I mean, Kim?
100%. Yeah, you just led right into it. And I'm going to give you all four tips to increase your patient satisfaction and reduce refunds because this is a step-by-step process. It's almost like building a brick wall. To get to the yes, we have to build the steps up to reach it. And we talked about how to get through to the first platform. Now we're going to move on. And I promise by the end, everybody, we will give you a magic phrase that will you can use like a magic wand that will help you. But if you don't do all of this pre-work first, it doesn't matter what you say at the end. You're going to fail. So let's build up that platform. Okay, so here's four tips to increase patient satisfaction and reduce refunds. Number one, Dr. Mike, you're the master for a reason. Bonding skills. Now, bonding skills, it's what will bring the patients in when they are out in the sea of skepticism and they're out there searching for their truth. We must bond with that person in order for them to trust the words that are coming next. And a really, they call it the campfire effect. I don't know if you've heard of this before, but I've been studying it for a little while now. And I started out as a layperson telling people about my story. I was in a car accident, 6 months pregnant with my daughter, almost lost her at the scene of the accident. The next 3 weeks were hell, in and out of the emergency room 7 times in 3 weeks for them to stop the labor. There was only a 40% chance of her survival by the end of the 3rd week, and I knew I needed to look around. So I went to see a chiropractor. Luckily, by the grace of God, I found a great one, and he brought me in. He educated me. I had my daughter a day before she was due naturally, and chiropractic is what saved her. I know it was. So for me to say that story, I mean, that was, what, 30 seconds of my story? Whenever I tell that story, people always say, wow, how did chiropractic do that? And that's a great segue. Now I've piqued their interest for me to go into it and say, you know, the nervous system controls and coordinates all of the functions of the body. When you have a bone that's putting pressure on a nerve, the body can't communicate all the way. We have to free up that nervous system so the brain and body can now communicate. Oftentimes, swelling is reduced, muscles relax, you get better sleep, and you feel great. When I say that to people, they want a piece of it. And again, that whole phrasing that I just said takes less than a minute. And by the end, people want to know what I have. What do I have to offer? But that's with my bonding. I always start off with the bonding skills. And I say it to people as if they were a friend of mine and we were sitting around a campfire and I was just telling a story. You know, back in 1992, I went for some chocolate chip cookies. I was craving them. I was pregnant and I got hit by a car. You know, if you take your stories and you pretend that you're sitting around a campfire, you know, you'll change it a little bit, won't you?
And, you know, I love that, you know, because people will remember that, too, and that's what's important. You know, it's like, and they're going to look both ways crossing the road going for chocolate chip cookies next time, and they're not going to forget a story like that. And it's like, yeah, I better look because I don't want to get hit by a car like Kim did. So that becomes part of their experience, too. I love that. So, and I think every CA can do this, just telling their story. I had a great CA, Cheryl. She used to always tell her story of how she got into chiropractic, why she got her kids into chiropractic, and that had a natural segue into families wanting, you know, wanting some of that too. So I agree. What's the second tip, Kim?
The second tip, Mike, is where you really shine, and that is to deliver a stellar doctor's report of findings. You know, going back to the fifth grade education on health, people don't really know what is happening with their bodies, and they do want to know, but they don't want to know too much. You know, they're not going in for a full science lesson. And what I found in my many travels talking to people about chiropractic is bones. People are afraid of bones. In some cultures, it's even really bad luck to see a bone. So we have to keep that in mind. I know it's a part of our daily lives, and I love bones. I've got one on my keychain. But it freaks out a lot of people. A lot of lay people don't like it. So why don't you tell us, Dr. Mike, what is the key to a great doctor's report of findings?
Well, you know, first of all, if the CAs on this call want to make a big shift in patients' acceptance and understanding, is make the doctor's report mandatory. You know, it's one of the policies in my office, no doctor's report, no patients. And I can prove that in split tests where we've had patients not show up and they don't stick around. They just don't get it. They're asking a million questions. It drives the doctors crazy. And, you know, they don't refer. They don't get their family into the care. So why would you even have a patient under care unless they were, at your doctor's report? So the key with the doctor's report is coming back to bonding and building rapport consistently, consistently, consistently. And we do that at the beginning of the doctor's report when patients are going back individually. If there's a group of people there, I'm bonding rapport always. And it makes the world a difference. So doctor's report is critical.
Now, I get this all the time. How do I get the people to show up to the doctor's report?
Okay, well, so again, make it mandatory, yeah.
Yeah, well, you can make it mandatory, but you still get the people that say, no, my husband works, and no, you know, there's no way he can make it. And I hear this question every single day. And I've come up with something that may help you. If somebody comes to me and I say, you know, gosh, we have the most amazing class that will help you to maximize every dollar you're spending and every minute that you are here in this office, it is full of amazing information. There's home exercises, there's diets, and we reveal the real essence of the care that you're going to receive here. And we found it such great and amazing information and it's a lot of information. We want you to bring a health partner with you. Studies show, and this is true, studies show that if you have a health healing partner involved in your healing process, you heal up to 30% faster. So it really helps you, and it behooves you to bring somebody who is going to be your healing partner. Who's your health partner? And people look at you a little bit crazy until you explain, look, you can heal up to 30% faster if you have somebody that helps you with your exercises, keeps you on point, helps you to remember the information, and just is generally supportive of your healing process. That makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. When it comes back to benefit, 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 you know, we tell our patients that your spouse needs to be there and you understand your need for care, support you in your care, if they're remotely involved in financial decision-making, which, you know, most are. So it always comes back to what them.
Right. We have so much information to get through today. We said a lot. We offered a lot in this call, and I just want to make sure that we deliver what we promised, because that is truly part of number three. So the third tip in our four tips is deliver consistently great service. Provide what you say you will provide. And it's got to be consistent. I mean, the reason, sadly, why McDonald's is so popular is because the filet of fish tastes just like it did 30 years ago. The hamburger tastes just like it did. They make it consistently from every location that you go to. And that's what consumers like. It makes them feel confident. And if you go in and your CA is having a bad day, or the doctor is having a bad day, and he's in the back kind of grumbly, and the CA is up front trying to cover up the noises from the book slamming in the back, you know, that's inconsistent in the heel. That's not good. So if they come one day and everyone's on point and woo, this is a thrilling Thursday and everyone's excited, and then they come next week and it's wah, wah, you know, numbers are down or whatever, you know, people are moping about, they're going to think twice, because what they're seeing from one day to the next day is inconsistent. In their minds, in the psychological process, they also wonder, what else could be inconsistent here? Am I spending too much money? Am I spending too much time? Maybe I should go back into the process and go back to 5 and 6 and find out if there's another option for me. So consistency is extremely important. That's number three, tip number three. Tip number four of tips to increase patient satisfaction funds is a team that is fired up and on task for the sake of loving it and loving what they do. Now, in order to have a team that's fired up and ready to rock and roll, guess what? Doctors have to be great leaders. You can't be late. You can't be grumpy. You got to be a shining star. Doctors yourselves, if you are going to be the example for your CAs to follow. Also, if you're grumpy, let me just say this, and I'm your CA and I'm out and about in town and I run up across somebody that could possibly use a chiropractor, if you were mean to me today, do you think I'm going to be motivated to step out of my comfort zone on my day off to talk to you, for you? Probably not. Probably not. You know, I'll look for new patients next week when he's nicer to me. So doctors, really, let's get your team fired up. Take them to seminars. Give them their bonuses when they reach them. Make the bonus system fair. Give them praise and atta girl and atta boys. You know, we need those things. We're in the trenches day in and day out, battling the insurance company for your money. So it's quite a challenge, and sometimes we can be taken for granted. So we got to make sure our team is fired up and on task for the love of serving and for the love of serving you, doctors, and your community. Do you have anything to add to that, Dr. Mike?
No, I love it all. Let's get right into a care plan. We've really sort of segued everything that we've talked about, the bonding aspect, the great service, the love. People come into the office, and like I said, that's half the process. Let's get into the next part. Let's actually get into the goods, because here's a challenge, and a lot of CAs would agree with me. I mean, you're going to see a lot of hands go up, is that doctors are often shy about talking about money, and in many cases, they'll sort of pass it off onto the CAs, or, you know, if they do, it's like my CA will go over the finances with you, and they leave it up to the CA, and the CA has to struggle with the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde of the patient, changes their mind, want to go home and think about it. Let's go through techniques to transition a doctor asking for the order, at least going over his recommendations of care, to making sure we have a smooth transition, because I think when all the CAs I've trained over the years, that seems to be their sticking point, where they're having a problem because now there's this sort of handoff from doctor to patient.
Yes.
Doctor
so
to CA.
What we're looking for always in the team aspect is that we are, as CAs, you know, if you imagine a volleyball team, and the chiropractor with his great report of findings and amazing bedside manner has just served us up the most perfect ball that we can spike in and get the point. If that happens, if the doctor has delivered everything that he needs to do and he's got all of his recommendations and the patient has bonded, they've had a great experience, the facility is clean, the price seems right, you know, it should be super easy. You are just the facilitator of the plan. So the chiropractor, the doctor, let me give you one of my closing tips for the doctors before I go on to the CAs, because this is one of those phrases that I've played with for many years, and it seems to be magic. So here it is. Get out your pens. In my professional opinion, I strongly recommend this treatment plan for your healing. That's it. That's the magic line right there. If you want something simple, wave that wand, practice that line. Here's what we know about patients. They really want the doctor to tell them what to do, and they want him to say it with 110% confidence. Now, the CA can run with that now. She can run with that. Both doctor and CA, both doctor and patient have come to this agreement. In my professional opinion, I strongly recommend this is what we do. Now, we're going to go ahead and pass you over to Kimberly. She's going to help you make it happen. Fantastic. Now, I come in and I sit down and I say, all right, oh my gosh, I am so glad that you are coming in and you're going to be our patient. I have seen so many people just like you leave with their own miracle story from this practice. Just last week, we had a mom and her three little kids come in who suffered from migraines. So I always try to go to a recent miracle that we've had in the office that is just like the one that the patient is looking for. If it's migraines, I go conditional, because when we're talking conditions, people want to know that you can help that specific condition. So I pick someone that has had that particular condition before, and I talk about their story. Oh, my goodness. You, of course, never use last names for patient privacy, but this was miracle of the month last month, was the migraine headache. So you were in the right place. Now, all we have to do is make this happen. And it's really helpful to have a care plan that is laid out like you have it. You've got a great care plan. Dr. Mike, your page is set up so that the patient can see what the total value of care is. So that's important. What is the total package? Say it's, what is your total package? $3,500, $3,500?
Well, let's just take a simple one. We do, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. We have everything from 88 to 72 down to 24. But let's just take something simple, which most doctors are just killing it, and that would be a 44, which is a six-month care plan. So it's laid out as 3 for 6 weeks, 2 for 6 weeks, 1 for 14. And that's an easy care plan, especially with a lot of doctors on this call that are maybe just learning how to do care plans. And you can also default to, say, a 24. Now, any newbies who are starting out, that's a very simple care plan, because one of the most important things, Kim, that I love it when the doctors I train, I ask them to get the commitment from the patient, to write it down, and then give them options of payment. And I've discovered that that's how we're actually killing it and getting a higher percentage of patients onto a care program. Ours is about a 95% closure rate. And then if they're not committed to that, we can default to the smallest amount of care that the doctor is willing to work with them. And that might be 24 to 36 adjustments. So that way they have an alternative. And in sales, they've also discovered when people have a choice, if they're not committed to the one you recommend, you give them a choice, there's a high likelihood they're going to come back to your best recommendations.
One of the other things that I totally agree, and one of the other things that we find when people are making, you know, a decision-making process at the end and there's money involved, there must be three different levels of choices for them to pick. You know,
absolutely,
there's always going to be the people that will buy the best of the best no matter what. They just want the best, so they'll go with the largest. So you got to make that a decent size, you know, your 88 care plan or the big one, the premier Cadillac package. And then there's the one in the middle, which is the typically we say about 70% of the people choose the one in the middle in our offices. And then there's the beginner, the starter package in the beginning. Question for you, do you have hardship plans?
Well, you know what? I really haven't had to give a hardship, but you want to sort of qualify what a hardship is. And often if we have patients that would ask, you know, is this your best fee? And sometimes you get that from different cultures, right? Is this your best fee? And you go, well, that is a fee. But sometimes your hardship is usually qualified as a student, someone who's unemployed, a single mother or somebody on disabilities. And I would ask the patients, do you fall into one of those four categories? Because often you see these are the people driving away in the Cadillac and taking the monthly vacations to the Caribbean. They can usually afford the care. So I'm going to step back to making sure the doctor's doing the doctor's report, and that's really going to help increase the value for which people are purchasing the care plans. I have a question for you, Kim, because that's a great question on hardships. What have you discovered as the best forms? Let's just do, say, a six-month care programs. I found this magic formula that works on closing cares by giving them options of payment. And what have you found that's best?
100%. They need to have ways to pay monthly. We find that it's kind of the Starbucks mentality. Okay, I can afford 3 Starbucks this month. You know, monthly payments are where it's at. If you give them a large chunk, you know, $5,000 care plan, they're going to have sticker shock. They're going to go back up into their decision-making process and keep weighing options. But if you have, say, for 6 months, you have, you know, say half down. I mean, there's so many different ways to do it. But, you know, if you have half down and you want to make smaller monthly payments, and you can do that. There's just so many different ways. But what I would say, in order to get somebody to say yes to any care plan, you want to start by selling the highest plan first, building in all the options. And one of the phrases that really works for me is, if this were my mom, I would tell her to go with option 3, and here's why. Because you're going to get all of the care that you need. You're going to, you know, whatever your package is, I mean, every chiropractor has something different. You're going to get decompression. You're going to get, you know, ADA adjustments. If my mom were really hurt like you are, I would tell her to do this one. Because you want to come from a place of bonding as you're selling this plan. So whatever the price is, it doesn't really matter, as long as you sell it with conviction and with love, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's going to work. That's the other component to this that I want to hit on, and I know we're getting up there in time, but it's important to hit on this. If your chiropractic assistants have issues with money, if they come from lack consciousness or they're struggling for money themselves, it may be hard for them to ask other people for large amounts of money. They'll have a weird energy about them when they ask. And when that happens, your closing rate goes down dramatically. So here's what we need to do. We need to remember that the care that we're selling, $5,000, I mean, what is $5,000? How much is an MRI? You know, how much do you spend on Starbucks per year? Sadly, I think last year I might have spent about $5,000 on Starbucks. You know, what is it that you're trying to do? We have to remind people that they're trying to get back to their grandchildren. They're trying to get back to the golf game. They're trying to get back to go on vacation and hike the Himalayas. You know, all of that is worth what? The other thing, too, is we can't judge people. I mean, that I had a situation when I was a CA, I'll tell you this quickly, where I worked at the front office of Dr. Scott Dubrill in San Luis Obispo. And San Luis Obispo in California, there's a lot of hippies. It's a real college town, but there's a lot of old hippies there, granola and tree huggers. And we had this woman come in. She came in. She had really long, long gray hair, like past her bottom gray hair. She was wearing a tie-dye shirt, Birkenstocks, and she came in. And, of course, me and Dr. Scott both looked at each other and went, hardship case. You know, how horrible. We judged her, but we did. Hardship case. She comes in, and we tried to brush that off because, you know, we know better. We brushed it off. We treated her with love, just as if she were a mom or an aunt. And we brought her through. We told her the information. I showed her what would be best. And if she were my grandma, this is what I would tell my grandma to get, because this is the very best for her health. And she said, I'm going to have to think about it. She left. So again, she goes back into the 8-step decision-making process, right? She goes back into continue to weigh her options and figure out a way to make it happen. She came in the next day with a $5,000 money order. She was rich. She was actually rich. She just didn't want to dress, you know, upscale. She liked to wear her hippie clothes. So here we go. You know, who are we to judge what other people can pay? You never know where they're from. Nephron.
That's right. Yeah, then that's why I'm a firm believer. You need to really lead your patients versus read them. And, you know, it's important to give them their best recommendations on what they need. So whatever your objective criteria is, whatever you're using to sort of quantify what the end game is or what health is for that person, whether you're using like structural changes with x-ray or neurological changes with a substation, you have to give them what is in their best interest. And, you know, here's a question I've always said. You said it was important, Kim. It comes from lack. Is if money weren't the concern, if chiropractic were free, would you give them their best recommendations? And the answer to that is always yes. Well, of course I would. So it's a money issue. So we have to get over that issue of lack. And, you know, same with the patients. You know, one of the things I really wanted to add, Kim, for the CAs on this call, because I've been doing this for 25 years, and I know we've hit a winner on the care plans, is one of the things that I've discovered, and this is options of three, and I'm not talking about the care plan itself, but that particular care program. If we offer, let's say it's a $2,000 care program, and I offer 10% discount for one-time payment, I have a high percentage of people that are going to take this, but I give them choices of three. And this is sort of the nugget I really want the CAs to take from the call that, you know, I've gleaned out over the years. I give them a second option of three monthly payments, so three payments in a row, 5% off. And then if they can't do that or it's an option, I give them six monthly payments with 0%. So my question to you is, what have you discovered from the care plan aspect that works well? I mean, I'm hearing $5,000 care plans, and we have doctors that do that on DCOMP. You know, I've got doctors that do $10,000 care programs. So just coming from your perspective, what have you found has been the best form of that particular care program to get the highest close rates?
It varies. Yeah, you're looking for
yeah.
a silver bullet.
That was my silver bullet.
That's very close. I mean, seriously, I work with offices that have decompression and massage therapy and packages all over the place, but it's very similar. And what I tell people is that you definitely, for option number one, the best, you know, Cadillac package, if they pay all of that up front, they receive a 10% savings. It used to be 20% savings is what we were promoting. But then the state organizations and the powers that be came down and said that we couldn't offer a discount that was that massive. So I want to say this, but I also want to be careful and tell everybody that's listening that you need to check with your state organizations, your licensing organizations, to make sure that any discounts that you do provide are in alignment with what you are supposed to be offering. Because there's people getting in big, big trouble out there for offering, you know, 50% off, and it's just not good. So yeah, you're right in line, Mike. I would say that 10% savings off the top, 10 to 15%, you can play with the 15% depending. If it's the Cadillac plan and it's $5,000 and they're going to pay you all up front, I would go 15%. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and you know, 15 does work. That's a magic number, but no more than that. 10 to 15 is for one time is the max you should have to offer.
Well, and you can't go any higher than that legally anyway. So, yeah, I would say 15% off for a full payment is a good thing to do.
And
then
I'll be honest, I'm perplexed on the legality of that, where people can pull that magic number out and say it's legal or not legal. But, you know, that's discovering boards for you. Hey, Kim, let's open it up for Q&A because we are a quarter to the hour. We have about, you know, 10, 15 minutes left. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute this call, and there's CAs on this call that probably have a million questions. So just say who you are. Just give us your name. Which practice are you in, and the lines are open, and if you have a call, just feel free to ask it. There's a lot of people on this call tonight. I'm just monitoring our call center here. So CAs, who are doctors, there's probably some doctors on this call. Who has a question?
They're still writing notes, I think. There's so much information.
No, it's always the first one. It's a little shy. The first one's always a little shy. Come on, CAs. Step out of the shadows.
Okay, I have a question for CAs, and maybe this will stimulate it.
All right. Question for you.
How many CAs out there do care plans on their own without the doctor's help? Anyone?
No.
No.
Well, that's good. It's good. No. It's good to have it's good to have a tag team when it comes to that, because the recommendations are obviously the strongest when they come from the doctor himself or herself, and especially with their professional recommendation. And let's not be skimpy with that professional recommendation. You guys went to school and paid an awful lot of money to have a professional recommendation. The other guys use it. We don't. It's kind of weird. But they're saying it a lot, and it really works. In my professional opinion, I strongly recommend this treatment plan for your healing process.
And if I can give another silver bullet to the CAs on this call, because I've done hundreds of reports over the years, is we find that by keeping the patient in that room, so if the doctor is going to pass it off to the CA, it's actually better if the CA can stay in the room where the doctor asked for, where the doctor gave his recommendations, or where he gave his, his recommendations for the finances too. Now, it does work better if the doctor can get a commitment and write it on that page, but if the doctor is going to leave, the CA can stay in that room. That works very well. Or if the doctor brings a patient to the front desk and can hand it off to the front desk, that works well. However, one of the things we don't want to do, CAs, is train the patients to be at the front desk. Because if we're closing them there and you have traffic coming and going, if you have 10-minute closure time that you have the patient at the front desk, you're actually anchoring that patient to spend time at the front desk, and that's what we don't want to do. So best thing to do, if you can, take them to a different room, or at least have the doctor leave and go to a different room for another report, and you stay in that room to close. All right, CAs, come on,
sure.
Let's open it up. There's got to be at least one CA who has a question, because, this should be tied to your bonus, ladies. The more people you get under care, the more income you make. Did I hear a voice?
I did. I heard a voice.
All right. Come on, CAs. They're doctors.
I have a question for you, please. My name is Maria.
Hey, Maria. Where do you practice?
I practice in Staten Island with Dr. Steve Guagliardo.
All right. Fantastic.
Hi.
What's your question?
Hi. How are you?
Good to hear from you. Thanks for being brave. You're wonderful.
Thank you. I learned a lot. I enjoyed it. And I have one question. I don't know if I missed it or I do have it, but the number 8 on the psychological purchasing steps, was that the actual agreement by the patient?
Yes. The final decision takes place on step number 7. That's when they take action. Step number 8 is when they're reviewing their purchasing decision over and over and over.
Oh, okay. All right, that's when you said technically you're asking them to change their calendar and their finances and their time?
Yes, exactly.
So at that point, we're supposed to be able to, stand behind them and convince them that they are making the right decision for care.
Yes, and that brings up a really good point, because we can't decide for them, right? I mean, as much as we want to, and as much as we, some people walk out, I just want to cry. But, the best thing that we can do is just deliver the message, give them the best offer that we can, and encourage them and motivate them, make sure that all of our ducks are in a row and we're providing consistent service, and then it's really up to them. But, yes, they will continue to make that decision every time they spend a dollar or a minute in our office.
Thank you so much.
You're
all right.
Welcome. Thanks for doing
any
what
other
you
questions?
Do.
Thanks, Maria, for joining us.
Sure.
Hello?
Next question. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Dr. Greg, thanks for being on.
Thank you. I've done this also for 30 years. I've been involved in managed care. I've done some cash, probably we're about 30% cash. In Minnesota, at least, maybe other places, more and more people are on what I'll call Obamacare. Our patient population is shifting substantially to minorities. We're what I'll call the second ring suburb. And it's changed dramatically, even compared to the way it was a couple of years ago. So it gets harder to switch towards what I'll call cash when everybody is, I'll just use a simple term, government dependent. but yet there's people in the middle. You know, now it's becoming, I think, even somewhat outlawed not to have insurance. I'll just open up for your comments. I appreciate it.
Well, if I'll jump in first, Kim, on this one, because I, Dr. Greg, I practice in a 100% cash-based society, and that was in Canada. I did it for years. I'm now in Richmond, Virginia, and practicing in Obamacare land. And here's what I've discovered, is that most people's deductibles are very high. So as you're bringing your patient back to that new patient examination, the first thing your CA should be doing is, number one, is checking insurance to see what deductibles are and what's been used, and seeing what their insurance plans cover chiropractic. Number two is, after your examination, and here's the most critical step that doctors miss. They're not doing a doctor's report. Now, I've done surveys on this. Only 14% are doing a weekly doctor's report. And I'm gonna slam the chiropractors out there. Shame. Because what's happening is your patients don't understand chiropractic, nor are they getting the value. You want to shift that? What you start doing is you sit them in their next appointment, a doctor's report, and you get them to get the big idea. Now, it's mandatory in the practice that I oversee. And here's what I've discovered. If they're deductible, let's just take a $2,000 care plan, a six-month care plan, it's $2,000, something that's easy that anybody could do. And if that deductible is over $2,000, which means they have to, you know, reach $2,000 spending before their insurance kicks in, then you go 100% cash. And if you show that patient that $2,000 care program, give them a 10% option for 10% off for one-time payment, a three-monthly option, give them 5%, or just six payments, you're going to have well over 95% of your patients paying a care program. How do I know? I do it every Wednesday night. And I'll tell you, you knock it out of the park. The best thing that could actually happen is Obamacare, because deductibles are so high that people can't even use their insurance. Now, if their insurance is available and you're going to bill the insurance, all you do is show the copay. So if they have $1,000 coverage, you say to the patient, that's awesome. You have insurance that most people don't even have. The care plan's $2,000. We're gonna bill $1,000 in insurance. You have $1,000 copay, and here's three options to pay it. Now, if you just did that, doc, you would knock it out of the park. Take those steps. Try it. Give me a call. I'll guarantee it's going to revolutionize your practice. And it is possible to turn practices up to 80% cash and 20% insurance. And here's what my insiders in Washington are telling me. We're going to a one-party system where everyone's going to have a little bit of insurance, and that's why you're going to want care plans. You build that little bit of insurance, and you have patients pay out of pocket. They'll value it more, and they'll stick around longer.
Dr. Barry,
well,
can I jump
in? That's my soapbox. Sorry, Kim, I had to throw that in there.
Yeah, I know. Perfect. That was beautiful information and absolutely accurate. Now, I just want to throw in a couple little tips, things that you can do while you're doing that with Dr. Mike, is act as if patients are there for healing. You know, I'll tell you real quickly, my daughter was in volleyball. She injured her shoulder. We went to go see, her knee. We went to go see an orthopedic surgeon, and we spent 5 minutes with him. He's after an hour and a half wait. So me being in the business that I'm in, I was going out of my skin. This man sweeps in and he says, well, surgery's not needed. Give us a call if you need any help. I mean, it was like 30 seconds and he starts to walk out and I'm like, wait, let me see the MRI. Can you please show me what you're seeing? You know, I want to see. So doctors today, and in the other side, on the medical side, they are treating people like dirt. They're getting them in. They're getting them out. I mean, truly, chiropractic is the solution. And I understand what you're saying about the Obamacare, because we hear that all the time, especially out at events. You know, people want to use their insurance. If they're spending $400 to $600 a month, they want to maximize their benefits. So, Dr. Barry, I would say that if you would just talk that language, look, at our office, we have an insurance specialist on site to help you maximize every insurance dollar. We will help you to gain as much out of these benefits as possible. If they know that you're actually going to try to do it and that they're, by the end, after you figured it out, they've spent time with you, they've seen your office, they've seen your team, and they are ready to say yes. Now we just have to find a way to make it happen. That's easy. That's just details. But let's not judge, you know, maybe just because they're on Obamacare doesn't mean that they don't have $16,000 stashed under a mattress somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Great question, Dr. Berry. Let's take one more question. Anybody? You know, I have one more tip I want to share because there's a lot of CAs on this call. And CAs, this is huge. I want you to write this down. And it's one word. It might be two words. It's called the follow-up. And of all the doctors we discovered, you want to watch your conversion rates, people who are getting on a care. But sometimes you'll present a care plan, and you get so busy with all the new ones coming in that you forget the people that you presented to. So what we do, and this is a really cool trick one of my former CAs used to do, is she would have a tray, and she would keep all the care plans that weren't closed. And they pulled those out daily because my CAs were actually bonused on the care plans. And they would review it every day and assign who was going to follow up with who. Now, here's what our research has shown. By doing a follow-up on those people that haven't been closed, we have a 25% increase in our closure rates, and that's huge. And we had one group of doctors that went from 50% closures, which that's not that great, to 75% by having one CA do the follow-up. I mean, how huge is that, Kim?
That's really great, and that's virtually very little effort. And let's keep in mind, if these patients don't sign up with us, they're probably going to be directed back through the medical route where they're going to get the drugs and surgery and stuff that they don't need. So it's really essential that we all of these jobs that we do at the office is truly to save lives, and every step that we take is a notch in that direction. That's
right.
Beautiful.
Hey,
I
Kim,
love
let's
that.
Give
easy follow up.
Let's give your contact information so the doctors can actually get your PowerPoint.
Great. You can go to my website. That's www.chirorockstar.com. And just go ahead and opt in. There's a little section on the left hand side that says free PowerPoint. Don't worry, if you sign up today or tomorrow, I'll know which PowerPoint you want. There's another one up there right now. We're in the process of changing out PowerPoints. So go ahead and let me know there. Or you can contact me through Facebook, and I'm Kimberly Gorham, San Diego.
Fantastic. And for those doctors and CAs who are on this call, next Tuesday night I am doing a Master Talk webinar, and that's on crazy conversions. So if you're looking at it, boosting your conversions, we're talking about how we do it with the doctor's report. That's next Tuesday night at 7. Watch your email, and you'll be able to sign up for that webinar. Kim, listen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us on tonight's CA Black Belt call. This was awesome. I know people are taking copious notes, and they're going to see a change in their practice. So for the CAs and the doctors who are on this call, thank you so much for being with us, Kim. As always, thank you for partaking and running this CA call.
You got it. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, and thank you to everybody out there that's doing what you're doing. You're on the front lines, and you are making a difference.
Thanks, guys. In the meantime, keep practicing with passion. We'll talk to you all soon.